Love. Boy, y'all are old, huh? Bob and I had a little bit of a disagreement as to who's best known for singing that. Dale, you're going to break the tie? Huh? See, I told you. She was good, but it was written for Dion. But anyway, we won't get into that argument again. The fact that you knew that so readily more than likely means that this whole issue of what the world needs is love is something that resonates with you. We are preparing ourselves for what we hope are going to be friends and neighbors and co-workers and others that you are inviting and that our mail out has invited to come and to be with us over the next 2 weeks, over the 17th and the 24th, as we celebrate Back to Church Sundays with everybody across our country. Hopefully we will see that. Obviously we've got some distractions that are going on, don't we? I mean, there's not going to be a whole lot of back to church in a lot of areas in the South right now. And a lot of us are asking the questions, why would this happen? Why would a loving God allow? We're going to deal with some of those questions in the next couple of weeks, because I think we'll have some people here who might need to have a sense of what that means. And if you have friends that you know of that maybe you're even trying to find a way to have a gospel conversation with, maybe saying, well, my pastor's going to be dealing with some of those issues over the next couple of weeks, might actually help you reach them. But the most important thing for us to recognize is not so much that we've got people we need to invite so that we can pack our pew and say, hey, I invited 50 people. Well, how many people did you invite? That's not what this is about. What this is about is being the church. The church is all about having the answer to what the needs are in the lives of so many of us, of people around us who are like us. Not even counting the folks that are not like us. They're looking for meaning. They're trying to find it wherever they can. And one of the ways in which they look for meaning is in this whole thing of love. Love is so misunderstood. There are so many definitions of what love is, especially in English. How many of you love ice cream? I'm a diabetic, I believe, because I love ice cream. How many of you love chocolate? Yeah, a little few more of you got on that one. All right. How many of you love... Boy, this could really go wrong in a lot of ways here. How many of you love your spouse? All right, and she's not even here. All right. We can go on and on about the different aspects of what love means. For many, love is something you receive. I want people to love me. I need people to love me. For others, it's something we want to do. For others, we want to love someone. And the number of young adults that I have talked with over the 40 years that I've been in ministry. I can't believe it's been that long. But anyway, the 40 years that I've been in ministry who are believing they're never going to get married. I now have a great example for all of them. My son at 38 and a half just got married for the first time this year. It can still happen. But it's God's timing. We all say that. But boy, is that hard to deal with sometimes. The reality is that we're looking for love, and if we're not careful in our world, we start looking for love in all the wrong places. Another song we might want to talk about. Everybody will agree that what the world needs now is love. And, oh, yeah, we want it to be sweet love. I'm not real sure what other kind of love there is, but I'm not all sure on how to get it, how to find it. Is it possible? Will anyone actually love me? Well, the reality is that God loved us so much. You know the rest of that one too, don't you? But one of the things that I think we forget is that that verse was not written to a follower of Jesus. Those words were not spoken to a follower of Jesus. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, so we're going to back up. But just hold on to that thought. The first thing I want to say to you, and the main thing, the only thing I want to say to you today is that our world needs to see love and know love. They need to see that it actually exists. I don't know about you, but I've kind of noticed a certain level of cynicism that's grown in our culture. People just seem to not believe anybody or anything unless it already is scratching where they think they're itching. You know? If they already believe something, then they're looking for that which will add wood to their fire that they already believe. And we're cynical about everything else. And some of us have gotten so jaded on one side and then the other and back and forth that we're cynical about everything. Our world needs to see that there's a reality. And that reality is love. But here's the problem. We as a culture, we as a people in our world think that love begins with the people who are supposed to love me. Or that love begins with me. And I'm trying to muster up enough love to make it work. But I want you to understand something. Love starts with God. God initiates all love. Everything we know about love, everything we've experienced about love, finds its source in the one who defines himself as love. God is love. And we know that it starts with him because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we read these words. We love because he first loved us. It's not that God loves us because we behaved and he said, oh, look at that. You're trying so hard. Come here. God loved us when we were just absolutely unlovable. I mean, really. He still loves us when we're absolutely unlovable. Be honest. There's a time almost every day in your life when you are not the easiest person to get along with. Come on. I know, I'm stepping on some toes. That's all right. God is the one who initiates love. Not you, not me, not your neighbor, not your mama, not your dad. God initiates love. Then while you are still a sinner, God loves you. Why? We go back to that verse. For God loved the world this way. That he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We know that is John 3:16. Oh, you may have memorized it in a different version and so it sounded a little bit different. But I think it's really important that we see exactly how this verse starts in the New Translation. It says, for God loved the world this way. There are a couple of things that I would point out to you about that. Number one, it means God is the one who started the love connection. He's the one who started it. Not you, not your preacher, not your parents, not your grandparents. God. God loved the world this way. God loved the world not in intellectual thought, not in emotional warm fuzzies, but he loved the world in a particular way. And the way that he loved the world was by his own personal sacrifice. It was his sacrifice that defines love. We read about it in a different way in Romans when Paul says to the Roman church, and he says, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't just say, and while we were still sinners, Christ died. He died for us. And that us is for all who would believe, who all will say yes to Him, all who will come. That includes that coworker of yours that you wish would just get buried under a bus somewhere. You know, that guy at school who will not leave you alone. That girl who just keeps taunting. It's everyone. That while we were still sinners, not after you got your life straightened out, not after you got it all fine and better, while we were still sinners. So God initiated the love. While you still did not deserve to be loved, while you still did nothing to make it easy for God to love you, God demonstrated His love. He didn't just initiate love, He demonstrated His love. In 1 John chapter 4, the 9th verse, we read these words, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Now let's read the whole thing. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. I read that first so that it would be in your mind when we get there. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And here it is. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Love consists of this. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and His love is made complete in us. In other words, it is perfected, it is completed in us in a way that is evident. God demonstrates His love towards you, and He demonstrated His love towards me in this way, that you alone know what's wrong with you. You know what's broken in your life. You know those places where you are fractured. And maybe nobody else in the world knows like you know. Maybe you've done a really good job of hiding all those cracks, of trying to gloss over all of those flaws. But you know, and God loves you anyway. Even though He knows everything you know, plus about you. God demonstrated His love towards you so that we might live through Him. What does that live mean? Well, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundant. What does that mean? I believe it's all wrapped up in the same word. God demonstrates love so that we might demonstrate love to others. He expects love. God expects love from us. If He has invested love in you, He is expecting a return of love. Everyone who walks through the water that I've baptized ever since I started baptizing people have always been asked to say yes to this question. Are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do for the rest of your life? And there are so many who say, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you realize how many times what God said He wants of His children is for us to love? Christians should not be known for what we hate. Christians should not be known for what we are against. Am I saying we should never take a stand? No, I'm not saying that. There are definitely things we need to take a stand on. All the things the Bible takes a stand on, we need to take a stand on. But we don't do it out of hate or anger or fear. We do it out of love. If we have neighbors who are coming, if we have friends who are coming, they need to hear our heart beat for them, not against them. If we have neighbors who are coming and friends who are coming and strangers who come in off the street, they need to know that God loves them. How are they going to find that out? Number one, they're going to find out that there is love in this place. If we love God, that's how it starts. God expects love towards Him. I shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's the greatest of the commandments. From the Old Testament all the way through the New. How are we doing? How you doing on that? That's the starting point. How's that coming? Folks, we've got to double down. If that's missing, if that's lacking, if we're slipping, if we're not showing our love for God in every aspect of our lives, that's our starting point. We can do outreach events and we can do outreach programs and we can do all kinds of things that try and let the world know how much we care about them and what we have to offer in the way of special things here at Bethel Baptist Church. But I got to tell you, none of that's going to matter if when they get here, they don't think we love God. If the very one that we said that we're committed to doesn't look like we're all that committed to. It starts with our love towards Him. He first loved us. He was willing to sacrifice His only born Son for you out of love. I'm not saying you got to sacrifice your firstborn. But are you willing to let them go on the mission field? To Syria? Are you willing to let them go on the mission field? To Vietnam? To China? To places in Africa you didn't know exist? To one of the 100 and however many language groups there are in Colorado? Starts with our love towards Him. And then, if you finish that verse, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second one is like unto it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You concerned about yourself? Concerned about what's best for you? You concerned about what's best and you want other people to treat you well? Then that's how we are to love those around us. Our neighbors are not the ones who sit in the pew next to you necessarily. They're the ones who live across the street and don't ever pick up the stuff out of their yard. They're the ones who live in that apartment above you whose music is never below 8. They're the people whose dog doesn't know what a leash is. You love your neighbors. The world is looking for reality. They're looking for truth. They're looking for something that cannot be denied. And they're looking at the church. And right now, is it true? Is it real that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength? Is it true for you, for us? Is it true that we love our neighbors as ourselves? That we're willing to risk it all in order to reach out in love to those who are near us? And, you know, it's an interesting thing. I think Jesus knew how hard it was going to be for us to love God. I think He knew how hard it was going to be for us to love our neighbor. So, in the last things that Jesus said, He said, look, if nothing else, the people who see you, they're going to know whether or not you're my disciple by one thing. Anybody remember what it was? How you love one another. Wow. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 15 and 17. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, I chose you." Remember, it all initiated with God. "I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is the command I give you. Love one another." When the people who are coming to be guests with us, who are coming to visit with us, when the people that you're going to go and give the invite cards to and try and have them come to our Bethel Fest or come to one of our worship services, when they come, will they see us loving one another? I got to tell you, I think Bethel does a better job of this than a lot of churches I've been a part of. But I got to tell you, I know I've got room to grow. I bet you do too. As we prepare for what God is going to do in our midst, as we invite folks to come to church, as we invite folks to make a step of faith, as we try to have gospel conversations with people that maybe we've never had gospel conversations before, they are going to know whether it's true, not by how well you have memorized the spiel, not by how complete all of your actions are in the way that you put all the pieces together in your diagram. They're going to know that it's true or not by whether or not you and I love. Because what the world needs now is love. Unconditional, unrestrained, extravagant love. An extravagant love that doesn't let go of the truth. But maybe it's best characterized by 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first few verses. Paul, speaking to the Corinthian church, which had a lot of problems on its own. "If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. For love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy and is not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable. And does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. For love never ends." When we get to heaven, or when heaven gets to us, we won't need faith anymore, because we'll be where God is. We won't need hope anymore because all our hopes will be realized. But love. Love's what we're going to carry with us all the way into and through eternity. Got any room to grow? I know I do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that you are at work in our lives. Thank you that you have not given up on us. That the love that prompted you to come, even while we were yet sinners, continues to prompt you to love us, provide for us, reach out to us, discipline us, and encourage us while we still struggle with sin on this side of our salvation experience. But Father, I'm so thankful that I don't have to do it alone, that I'm not trying to make it work on my own, that you have cleansed me from the inside out, that you've made it possible through the presence of your Holy Spirit for me to overcome the sins that beset me. And I pray that you would make sure everyone in this room understands that and knows that for their life too. May today, may this moment be an opportunity for them to get it right, to put a stake down in the ground and say, on this day, I gave it all to Jesus. On this day, I decided I was going to trust Him. On this day, I knew that the love of God was sufficient for me to begin to love others that I wasn't sure I could love. So Father, would you take this day and this time and accomplish your purpose in your people? In Jesus, I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as the worship team leads us? We're going to sing, and if the Lord's leading you to make a decision, you come and you can pray here at the front, or you can just simply begin the process where you are, or come and counsel with me. Whatever God has you do, this is your opportunity. You come if God leads.